Would you turn to the fourth chapter of Isaiah? The third chapter, I beg your pardon. No, it is the fourth chapter. I'm not reading it properly. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2 begins, "In that day." What day? Well, verse 1 began, "And in that day." Verse 18 of chapter 3, "In that day." Which day is it talking about? Is it the same day? Well, I'm not entirely sure. And I'm not sure Isaiah was entirely sure either. Although he was a prophet, and the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, had revealed to him things that would come. The coming of the Messiah, chiefly, which we get in chapter 2. Isaiah, I don't think, understood it anywhere near like we understand it. Now, we know the Messiah comes twice. The first time to rescue and redeem and atone. The second time to judge and establish a visible kingdom. If we were to go back to the, 7th century and interview Isaiah, he may not have known that the Messiah, whom he saw, had two comings. He may have understood it as one coming, but just couldn't put the two together, couldn't understand it. First of all, let me say how privileged we are.
Amen.
Isaiah was a real man of God. Micah, Elijah, David, they were all real men of God who were close to God. Yet we know more than they did. That is the privilege of being part of the new covenant. So in that day, in verse 1, is, seven women taking hold of one man saying, "Please marry us and, we'll buy our own clothing." Okay. verse 18, "In that day, the Lord will take away the finery of these proud women." And it might be that Isaiah is seeing the judgment of the Babylonians coming in the first two, "in that day." But in verse 2 of chapter 4, he sees something else, which I don't think is the same day as these kind of desperate women and these women losing all their fine clothes. "In that day." So Isaiah may not have known which the day was. "But in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful." Now the translators of the New King James Version, which I am using, have used a capital B for branch. And they are making an interpretive comment there. I happen to agree with it. But that the branch of the Lord is not referring to a kind of a stick, but it's referring to a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Isaiah understood in a number of different ways, even though he may not have joined all the dots together. "In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious." And Christ has always been beautiful and he has always been glorious. Before the creation of angels, before the creation of the earth, he was beautiful and he was glorious. He doesn't begin to be beautiful and glorious in that day, whichever day that will be. Every day he has been beautiful and glorious. Perhaps Isaiah is referring to a day when the beauty and the glory of Christ will be experienced and appreciated by the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Now, when he came to earth the first time, we're told he probably looked like an ordinary man. I don't think he looked like that, a good-looking film star, such as are casted to play him in a film. He had no majesty or comeliness that we would desire him. In fact, the opposite happened. What looks he had were marred. He was disfigured by the passion and the crucifixion. We turned our faces from him. Was he beautiful and glorious that day? Well, he certainly didn't appear to be beautiful and glorious, but he was. Christ was beautiful and glorious, not because of his physical appearance, which must have been off-putting, but because of what he was achieving that day. He was achieving the very means by which sinful, hell-deserving people could be reconciled to a holy God. He was beautiful that day, and he was glorious that day, though we could not see it. So maybe Isaiah is referring to the crucifixion, or indeed any of those days or years in the Lord's earthly ministry. Or is he talking about the day which we are in now? Verse 2 continues, "And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped." Well, I think that the second part of verse 2 is referring to the judgment described in chapter 3 and verse 1 of chapter 4. Many of Israel were carried off, many of them were slain, but there was a remnant who returned to the land. But I'm also inclined to think that the remnant here are not just those who left Babylonia and moved back into physical Israel, but the remnant of the Lord who continue to believe and be faithful. It's sometimes hard to believe, but there has always been a faithful remnant of people on the earth. I quite like medieval history, and I've just come back from seeking out Saxon churches in Yorkshire. I like Saxon churches, but I'm not convinced you'd hear a great gospel message from them. Mm. But even then, I think God had his Israel. Mm-hmm. And even in the darkest days of the 13th and 14th century with popery reigning supreme, the Lord had a people. And, you know, we're living in a land, in a time where very few churches are full, and many of those which are full are full for the wrong reason. And sometimes we might think, you know, are we the only ones? Are we like, you know, Elijah, thinking we're the only ones not to have bowed the knee? Well, the Lord has reserved for himself several thousand in Israel. Well, maybe Isaiah is talking about our days when, you know, there are those of Israel who have escaped. And is it not the case that even when, you know, we were worshipping him, even before in this meeting, that we got a little taste of his glory and his beauty? Hosanna to the Son of David. Or is that day, of course, the day when he returns to judge the living and the dead? In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. When we see him, we will be like him. One day we will see the Lord Jesus in all his splendour and all his glory. And some of the disciples beheld him on the Mount of Transfiguration in that way. John beholds him at the start of Revelation. I think Ezekiel caught a glimpse of him, though I think he struggled to find the words to describe it. But there is a day coming when the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, not just because we believe in his beautiful and glorious ministry, but because he will be right in front of us, hopefully saying, "Welcome home. Well done, good and faithful servant." And yet why does it call him the branch of the Lord? Well, he is the branch of God. He is not just an appointed person. He's not just an Isaiah, son of Amos, who made a perfectly good prophet. He is the branch of the Lord. And notice the covenant name of God used there in verse 2. That God who revealed himself to Abraham. He is a branch of the God of Abraham. The God who revealed himself to David. He is the branch of the God who revealed himself to David. There is continuity here. Jesus did not just appear on the stage at the start of Matthew's Gospel. All things were made by him, through him, and for him. We read of him in the start of Genesis. We read of him at the end of Revelation. He is the branch of the Lord. And he shall be beautiful and glorious. He's beautiful and glorious because of who he is. He's beautiful and glorious because of what he did. And one day, we will see that. And the difference, I think, now between the believer and the unbeliever is that we acknowledge that beauty and that glory now. I do believe on the day of judgment, even though he will be the dread judge and every knee will tremble, even the wicked will not be able to deny his beauty, his glory, and his majesty. Indeed, it will all the more condemn them. But for we who believe, he will be even more precious. Do you remember what the Lord said to Thomas? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. So if we believe in his beauty and his glory now, how much more amazing will it be when we stand before him or kneel before him? I don't see how we can stand. We kneel before him. I realise just how awesome is the God who drew us to himself and rescued us. Indeed, the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. Amen.